in the life of this world, when it is hot, people, man avails himself with three things: cool air, a nice cup of cold water, and he finds himself a beautiful tree in order to shade himself. However, in the next world, these three things in the house of perdition, in the house of destruction, in the house of damnation, in the house of tormentation, punishment, chastisement, in the house of hell, its inhabitants will not be able to avail themselves with these three things. The Almighty Lord will exchange them for something else. Instead of cool air, they will have samum, hot, fierce air, scorching wind. And instead of a nice cup of cold water, the Almighty Lord will give them hamim, boiling water. And instead of that beautiful shade, they will have shade, but the shade will be called yahmum, part of the smoke of the fire. Subhanallah. The actual shade of the smoke will be their only shade. As the Almighty Lord mentions in His glorious uncreated word,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم.
And the companions of the left. And who will be the companions of the left? In fierce hot wind and boiling water and a shadow of black smoke that will neither be kind nor cool. This is the situation in hellfire. This is what they will receive in hellfire. Hell had been inflamed for 1,000 years continuously. Consequently, its color became red. Again, it was burned for another 1,000 years until those red flames became white. And then again, it was kindled, burnt, inflamed for another 1,000 years. And thus, its white flames became black. So the existing color of hell is black as a dark night. And it's been mentioned that its flames do not illuminate. They remain the color of black due to its intensity, its severity, destroying everything, sparing no sinner, leaving nothing unburnt, burning the skin, reaching the bowels, melting the insides, the outsides. No wonder why scholars have said that if the people of hell were to lie on the fire of this world after experiencing only a dip in hellfire, they will be able to enjoy sound sleep on the fire of this world. Sound sleep after they have experienced the fire of hell, if they were to lie on the fire of this world, they can enjoy sound sleep. Nusrallahu al-afiyah. As Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari and Muslim ibn Hijaj, rahimuhum Allah ta'ala, mentioned on the authority of Abd al-Rahman ibn Sakhar, radiyallahu ta'ala an, that our beloved teacher Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the fire of the sons of Adam is 1/70th, listen to this, subhanallah. The fire of the sons of Adam is 1/70th of the fire of hell. 1/70th. One companion remarked, Ya Rasulullah, this ordinary fire would have been sufficient to torture the disbelievers with. See, they understood this. They knew that the fire of this world is unbearable. It's hot. So his companion said, Ya Rasulullah, this fire would have been sufficient, enough to torture the disbelievers with. Why is it 69 times stronger? Then our beloved Imam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it is 69 parts in excess of the fire of this world. Each part being equivalent to the heat of the fire of this world. And I wonder why the kafir, the happiest kafir, when he is dipped only once into that fire, he forgets every enjoyment, every material blessing, every happiness he ever experienced in this life. With one single dip, as Muslim ibn Hijaj mentions on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one amongst the denizens of hell will be brought on the day of resurrection, who led a life of happiness, enjoyment, ease and plenty. He will be brought and dipped only once in hellfire. Then he will be asked, O son of Adam! His Lord will ask him, O son of Adam, have you enjoyed any happiness? Have you seen any enjoyment? Have you seen any material blessings? He will reply, No, my Rabb, I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing. How can you say anything after being dipped in a black fire that's been burned for 3,000 years? It is so hot that even hell itself complained. Hell spoke to its Lord, complaining about the intensity of its heat. As mentioned by Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hellfire complained to its Lord, saying, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, O my Lord, my different parts are eating each other. Subhanallah. Look how hot it is. Even hell was complaining that its parts, in other words, its fire, its fire is eating each other. It's so hot that it's burning each other. So he allowed it to take two breaths. Oh my Rabb, my different parts are eating each other. So he allowed it to take two breaths, one in summer and the other in winter. And as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the reason for the severe heat and the bitter cold that we experience. The severe heat of summer and the bitter cold of winter is due to the breaths that was allowed for hellfire. Likewise, we get affected by these breaths, as again mentioned by Bukhari on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fever is from the breath of hellfire. So cool it down with water. Everyone has experienced fever, especially if your temperature goes up to 40 degrees. What do you do? Do you get hot water and pour it on you to warm yourself? What do? You cool yourself. And this is what the hadith mentions. So cool it with water. And when you go to a hospital and you got a high fever, what do? Well, I had a high fever in Saudi Arabia. They laid me down and they put ice cubes on me. Ice cubes. And then after the ice cubes, they got a bowl of cold water and poured it over me. Tell you what, I was cold after that. And that fever went quickly. And this is what the medicine, the remedy is in this hadith. Cool it down with water. The severe heat that we experience in the day, especially in the hot summer days, is from the breath of hellfire. As mentioned by Bukhari again, this time on the authority of Abu Dharr, who said, while we're traveling with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, regarding the performance of Dhuhr prayer, delay it till it gets a bit cooler, because the severity of its heat is due to the breath of hellfire. Subhanallah di khalaqana, nusrallahu al-afiyah. As for the fuel of hellfire. Now, what is the fuel of hellfire? Is it wood? Is it paper? Is it charcoal? Do you go to Coles or Franklin's or Aldi's and you buy those kindlers? What do they call it? The lighteners? The kindlers? Not the beads. Those that you... The jiffies. Jiffies or jippies or hippies. You buy that which ignites, you can say, the Barbie. But in the life of the next, in hellfire, what are you buying for hellfire? It is a terrible fire. Not like the one we know today. Hellfire's fuel is evil people who has hard hearted as stone. Subhanallah, dear beloved. The frightening menace that hellfire's fuel is men gives us the threatening knowledge, wallahi, that hellfire burns with what it should destroy in the first place. Think about it. Hellfire burns with what it should destroy in the first place. Instead of destroying it, us, it increases in its intensity. The more people are in there, the more it increases in its intensity. And we never ever end. It melts us, it burns us, and we are revived. It melts us, it burns us, then we are revived. It's not like this world where you put charcoal, you put wood, it burns it, it consumes it, ashes get blown in the wind. No. Hellfire's fuel is men, as mentioned by the Almighty Lord, Fatafaddal Mustafa.
إن الذين كفروا لن تغني عنهم أموالهم ولا أولادهم من الله شيئا وأولئك هم وقود النار.
Those who have disbelieved, neither their wealth or their families will avail them with Allah Ta'ala, and those are the fuel of the fire. Likewise, stone is another fuel for the fire, another source for the fire. Subhanallah, stones, brothers and sisters, stones. You put stones in this world, in the fire, does it burn it? Does it burn it? The fire is actually the fuel for the fire. The stones are the fuel for the fire. You put it in the fire of this world, it might sort of turn it off. It just shows how strong that fire is. Stones are fuel for the fire, as the Almighty Lord mentions.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة.
O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Look at that beautiful verse. O you who believe, and walillahi alhamdu, we all believe. We all believe. This is why we are here tonight. We are only here for one reason, because we believe in Allah Ta'ala. Walillahi alhamdu. So inshallah, we're not among those people who will be fuel for the fire. Inshallah. O you who believe, save yourself. Save yourself first. Do not go and teach others and you are doing otherwise. Save yourself. Learn Islam. Apply Islam. And then save your families. Teach your families
from a fire whose fuel is men and stones.
Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari and Ibn Kathir speculated that these stones are the stones of sulfur, which were created in the first heaven the day the Almighty Lord created the heavens and the earth. However, this is no other than a speculation, an ijtihad, and not based on anything that our teacher sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned. Another fuel for the fire are the gods that were worshipped instead of the Almighty Lord, as Allah Ta'ala says,
إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمَ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ لَوْ كَانَ هَؤُلَاءِ آلِهَةً مَا وَرَدُوهَا وَكُلٌّ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
Certainly you and that which you worship instead of Allah Ta'ala are but fuel for the fire. You shall surely enter it. Had these gods, these idols, these things that you worshipped instead of Allah been in reality gods, they would not have entered it, and therein you shall abide forever. Yes, subhanAllah. It is so explicit. It is so beautiful that the Almighty Lord is teaching us, O believing people, that which these people worship instead of Allah are going to be no other than the fuel for the fire. That which they worship and they themselves, the worshippers, so it's the worshippers and the worshipped, will be both in hellfire as fuel for the fire. Likewise, jinn, J-I-N-N, will be the fuel for the fire. Creatures that we cannot see, but they can see us. They are like us. They are obligated, and they will be judged. Among them are Muslims, and among them are kuffar. The kuffar, just like the human kuffar, will be the fuel for the fire. As for the Muslims, just like the human Muslims, they will be, inshallah, in paradise.
وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَئِكَ تَحَرَّوا رَشَدًا وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا.
And the manas, this is the jinn, are Muslims in submission to Allah, and others who have deviated from justice. As for those who have accepted Islam, then surely they have sought the right path. But those who have deviated, then they shall be the firewood for hell. SubhanAllah. Isn't it a threatening term? The firewood for hell. SubhanAllah, we just listen to these verses and listen to these things, but ponder. Firewood for hell. This is our blood, our flesh, our bones. It's referring to this. Hellfire will actually demolish, burn, consume, eat. And then you will be revived, and again it will eat you. Revived and eat you. Melt you. And you'll be in that fire. This is the kafar. And people will be drinking from the wounds, the dirty wounds of its people, the melting of the skins, they will be drinking it from underneath them.
Nisrallah al-afiyah. It is not a pretty thing to say, but it's reality. And people say, no, it's inshaAllah, Allah Ghafoor Rahim, it's all khair inshaAllah ta'ala, we're not going to be punished, we're not going to... SubhanAllah.
The one who said that he created paradise, likewise taught us that he created hellfire for a reason. Why did he create paradise? For the good people, for the Muslims. Why did he create hellfire? Likewise for the evil people, for the kuffar. Logic. He gives this party bliss and blessings, this party chastisement and punishment. For a reason. For a reason. It's the reality. And the word of the Almighty Lord is the truest of speech. The truest of speech. It's not symbolic, not metaphoric. It is reality, it's a fact.
We ask the Almighty Lord to keep us far away from that destination.
As for the magnitude of hell, it is enormous. It is big. It is massive. It is vast. It is deep.
It needs a great number of angels to win it on the day of resurrection.
It is so big that it will need a great number of angels to win it on the day of resurrection, as mentioned by Muslim ibn Hijaj on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hellfire will be brought on the day of resurrection with 70,000 bridles. Each bridle being pulled by 70,000 angels. Allahu Akbar. How big is it? Hellfire will be brought on the day of resurrection with 70,000 bridles. Each bridle being pulled, each bridle, not the 70,000, each bridle by 70,000 angels.
And you think the angels are the size of me and Umar? No. Or me and Isa who's a pencil neck? No. The angels, as one angel has been mentioned, who is Jibreel alayhi salam, covered the whole of the horizon. The whole of the horizon. One angel. 70,000 angels to each bridle, which is 70,000 bridles. Is it not huge? Is it not vast? Immensely deep?
Why is it so big? I'll tell you why it's so big. To accommodate for the huge number of kuffar and evildoers that existed throughout the history of man. And despite all these people, all these stones, all these idols, all these jinn,
there will still be more room in it. As Allah Ta'ala says,
يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِن مَزِيدٍ.
The day we will say to hellfire, yeah, SubhanAllah, Allah will talk to hellfire,
are you filled?
And it will cry out,
is there or are there any more?
This is hellfire crying out,
are there any more?
Until the Almighty Lord places His perfect, excellent, beautiful foot in there. As mentioned by Muslim ibn Hijaj and Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, who mentions, people will continue to be thrown into hellfire, thrown and thrown and thrown, and it will be asked, hellfire, are you filled? Are you filled? And it will say, are there any more? Are there any more? Until the Rabb, the Lord, places His foot in there. His foot. His perfect, excellent, beautiful foot. And it will say, enough, enough. By your honor and glory. It is massive. And to further illustrate the capacity of hellfire, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the chair, the width of the chair of the kafir in hellfire
as being the distance traveled between Mecca and Medina. This one chair of a kafir in there. The distance traveled between Mecca and Medina. What is it just between the two of them? Who knows?
150 kilometers.
Approximately, yes, ya Ghali. Approximately, say, close to 500 kilometers. The distance between Mecca and Medina. This is one chair of a kafir in hellfire. Imagine. Hellfire? If the tooth of a kafir is the size of Uhud, a big mountain. How is hellfire going to be? How big is it? And another indication to its magnitude is the fact that two large creations, like the sun and the moon, will be like two rolled up bulls in the fire. Allahu Akbar. As for the depth of hellfire, it is extensive, extremely deep. As the hadith mentions, that it takes 70 years. Listen to this. 70 years if a stone is thrown from the top to reach the bottom, 70 years travel. Authentic narration. Collected by Muslim ibn Hijaj on the authority of Abdullah or Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, who said, while we were sitting with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we heard a terrible sound. So he asked, Muhammad asked the companions, do you know what that sound is? They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, that is a stone that was thrown from the top of hellfire 70 years ago and has been constantly falling until it has finally reached the bottom. And when something is thrown from the top, it catches speed as it falls. So it is flying down. And yet it still took how many years? 70 years to reach the bottom. As for the gatekeepers of hell, the gatekeepers of hell, the security of hell, you can say. We call them in these days, when you go to places, bodyguards or bouncers or whatever other names they're named in the places of Balut. They call them bodyguards. And tabarakallah, there's many of them here tonight. But as for the security or the gatekeepers of hell, they are mighty, stern, powerful, severe, strong angels, as the Almighty Lord mentions.
وقال الذين في النار لخزنة جهنم ادعوا ربكم يخفف عنا يوما من العذاب قالوا أولم تك تأتيكم رسلكم بالبينات قالوا بلى قالوا فادعوا وما دعاء الكافرين إلا في ضلال.
And the people in hell will cry out to the people or the guardians of the hellfire, pray to your Lord to lighten on us our penalty. Subhanallah, they're in hellfire. They're in severe punishment. So they call out, they cry out to the keepers of hellfire, the gatekeepers. Pray to your Lord to lighten on us the punishment, our penalty. And what do the angels say to them, the gatekeepers of hell? Did they not come unto you, messengers with clear signs? And subhanAllah, look at the response of the angels. What are you crying out now for? Were you not warned? Were you not told? Were you not informed? Were you not admonished? Where were you then? What happened to you then? Now? Did they not come unto you, messengers with clear signs? And wallahi, they did.
They came to us. There it is right in front of our eyes. Clear, eloquent, classical, beautiful verses that defines the criteria between right and between wrong. There is no problem. You want the right path? You've got it right here. You want the wrong path? The devil's book is here. That is anything other than this. Man-made garbage. But the law of the Almighty Lord, the criteria is before our very eyes. Did they not come unto you, O people of hell? Messengers with clear signs? They will reply, yes. Now they reply, yes. But where was the yes in the life of this world? It was in the clubbing, the discoing, the haram, this, that, resting, sleeping, eating, playing, mockery, jest. Now they say yes. And what did I reply back? Or respond back with? Then pray as you wish. For the prayer of those without faith is but in error. Useless, futile, trivial, of no use. Pray as much as you want. And that will just increase him in what? In grief, in remorse, in resentment, in hurt and harm. Because they know there's no way out. The gatekeepers are not going to have mercy on them. Malik, who's one of the gatekeepers, it's been mentioned from the day he was born, he has never smiled. An angel named in the Quran, Malik, from the day he was born, it's been mentioned that he had never, ever smiled. And how can he smile when he has seen hellfire? How? As the hadith says, if you had seen what I had saw, you would laugh little and cry a lot. Now today, ha 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 ha, day and night, ha 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 ha, as though it is nothing but ha ha ha. Because why? Because the shaitan is making you ha 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 ha. Now you're all laughing. But this is the reality. He veils. He makes us intoxicated. He puts a barrier between the reality and drives us slowly into destruction. And we do not even see it until it's too late. So had there not been messengers sent to you with clear signs? Yes. Then remain therein or pray as you wish. But the prayer of those without faith is but in error. And likewise, he describes them in another verse, which is more of a description of these angels.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون.
O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones, over which are appointed angels. Listen to these angels. Appointed angels who are severe and stern. This is Allah's statement. Severe and stern, powerful and mighty, strong, who flinch not from executing the commands they receive from their Lord, but do precisely as they are commanded. Precisely as they are commanded. These are the angels. No matter how much you're going to seek aid from them, they will have no mercy. No mercy. And likewise, the Almighty Lord mentions their number in another verse.
سأصليه سقر وما أدراك ما سقر لا تبقي ولا تذر لواحة للبشر عليها 19.
I shall cast him into hellfire, and what shall make you know what hellfire is? It spares no sinner nor leaves anything unburnt. Burning and darkening the skins. Over it are 19 angels as gatekeepers of hell. So as you heard, there are stern, mighty, powerful, strong angels who flinch not from executing the commands they receive from the Almighty Lord, but do precisely as they are commanded. The number in this verse is mentioned as 19. Clear, 19. Have they got soldiers? Allahu alam. But the mention here is 19. This to the disbelievers, the pagans, was a challenge. They said, 19? Easy to defeat. Easy to overcome. No problem. 19, they made a mockery out of it when this verse was revealed. 19 angels, that is all. Not knowing that one of these angels by the will of the Almighty Lord, can confront the whole of mankind with one blow. One of those angels. And as we mentioned, one that is named in the Quran is Malik, the gatekeeper of hell. And the Almighty Lord mentions him precisely by name. فتفضل يا مصطفى.
ونادوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك قال إنكم ماكثون.
And they will cry out, the inhabitants of hellfire, when the punishment becomes intense and they cannot bear it no more, they will cry out, Ya Malik, O gatekeeper of hell, by name, Ya Malik, pray to your Lord, let him put an end to us. Let him put an end to us. We cannot bear this no more. And who would want to be put to end? To destruction. Meaning to nothing. Unless your punishment is so severe, you would not want this. So they prefer to be ash, dead, nothing. So they will cry out to Malik, Oh Malik, pray to your Lord. Have mercy and pray to your Lord and let him put an end to us. And what does he say? What does he say? He says, you shall stay therein forever. You shall stay therein forever. Why? Messengers came to you with clear signs, but you refused. And thus, this is your punishment, eternal damnation. And likewise, this angel is mentioned in the famous hadith of Al-Isra al-Ma'raj. You all know the night of ascension, when he prayed in Al-Aqsa behind the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salam. And that is when, after the prayer was completed, Malik was behind Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in Jibril told Malik to give him salam. Muhammad sallam to give Malik salam. So he turned around to give him salam, and before he could give him salam, Malik gave him salam. This is the angel known to be the gatekeeper of hell. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we ask the Almighty Lord to bless us, to aid us, to help us learn that which he loves and thus apply that which he loves, in order that we do not get anywhere near to that evil fire. We ask the Almighty Lord to teach us that which benefits us with application and thus propagation, and then most importantly, patience in the face of adversity. We'll leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala, and our subject will continue next week with hellfire, which will be inshallah for approximately 2 to 3 weeks, and thus we'll enter the beautiful talk about paradise.